he's not a novice. He comes to the pulpit with an anointing in his life, with a dedication and commitment to the task that God has placed upon him. I wish you would help me tonight make him welcome as he comes to preach this service tonight, and let him know we want to preach with him.
God bless you, brother. Sorry. Sorry, you have to hold his mic.
That's all right. I've got a lot to thank you.
Thank you. Please don't stop. Let's give the Lord a hand praise to God. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad Brother Jones thought it was more important to be in L.A. than to be here, so I could be here. I'm glad. It's been a while since I've been here. I preached a youth camp here back in the 1800s, it seems like, and it's good to be back on the road again, back in the pulpit again. And we're very delighted to be a part of this ordination service, these five fine families here tonight. And let's get our Bibles out, please, if we have them. And I certainly want to congratulate Brother Jerry Dykus, did I say it right? And your precious wife, Brother Craig Adams and his wife and family here tonight, Brother Dennis Kilman and his wife, Senator John McCain is on the front aisle here tonight, standing in for Brother Greg Epley. Amen. I'm sure you've heard that before. You are his twin brother, apparently. And Brother Donnie Copeland and his good wife here tonight, family. What a special occasion. Good to see Brother and Sister Meyer here tonight. Parents of Brother Adams' daughter. Wife. It'd be weird to be like that, wouldn't it? And it's good to see you all tonight. How many came with a desire to hear from the Word of the Lord here tonight? How many are hungry for another touch of God? How many like to go a little deeper in the Lord? Never get there unless we hunger for it, desire it. Well, let's go to the book of Mark, please. Chapter 14. Did you tell the brother? Okay, is that you up there? Okay, we're doing the worship is never a waste. Okay, thank you. I thought to tell you to tell him, but I didn't. I forgot. Well, how many love to worship God? How many believe He's worthy of glory and honor? And power. He's worthy of it, isn't he? Whatever we put into this service tonight, He's worthy of that and way much more. Amen. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And before I read, I want to say hello to the Willis family back here. We're neighboring pastors of mine for many years up in Maryland, and we're glad to see you tonight. Bless you. And verse 1 of Mark 14 says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they say, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat there, came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, New King James says, very costly. And she broke the box. Everybody say she broke the box. And poured it on his head. Everybody say she poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation, which means displeasure, within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. It's amazing, isn't it? The disciples, those that were closest to him, were annoyed with her demonstration of love and affection. Verse 6 says, "And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye have not always. She hath done a good. She hath done what she could.'" King James, "For she did everything within her means to minister to me. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." What an honor. The only person he ever said that about. That when his gospel is preached, she's going to be talked about and honored. And the next verse is very interesting in the timing of it. "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them." New King James here in chapter 4, 14 and verse 5, our next slide. "For it might have been sold," this is what was said, "it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply." It wasn't just casual gossip. They were pretty nasty about it. And I want to ask you this question. When they said what a waste it was, were they right? And only you and I can decide whether they are right or not by how our worship life is manifested. If we're weak and stingy in our worship, maybe they were right. But if we're generous and flowing in our worship and adoration to the Lord, then they were wrong. Or another title, subtitle, "Worship is never a waste." Anybody believe that? Do you believe sometimes you lift your hands, you're just wasting your time? Anybody believe that? You say, "I love you," is that a waste of our time? I don't believe it's a waste of time or a waste of effort, because He is worthy. And we better get good and used to it, because we're going to be doing it for a long time. And if you're uncomfortable in a hot worship service, you're not going to feel very comfortable in heaven. Because right now the Bible says they are praising God with a loud voice. No timid souls there. Amen. Would you pray with me? Let's invite the presence of the Lord in. Father, we've already prayed, but we want You to come into this place. We want You to minister tonight. I pray that every pastor would be ministered to tonight by You personally. I pray that every pastor's wife would be ministered to personally by You. I can't do it, because without You we can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I pray You would touch these wonderful families in a unique and special way tonight at their ordination. And we give You praise for that. We give You the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Before you're seated, an evangelist friend of mine, you might have heard this, told me that when he would travel from church to church, he would sort of time how long there would be a sustained praise in the church services. Like after somebody sang a song, or somebody said, "Let's all worship the Lord," or a time of worship. What would be the average time a congregation would spend praising God in sustained praise? And he timed it, and he averaged it, and it was a whopping 20 seconds in an average service where people would just sustain praise for 20 seconds. No longer. There was never a time in those services that was ever longer than 20 seconds. That sounded kind of pitiful to me. 20 seconds is about enough time to get over an obligation. You know, I got to worship. All right, 20 seconds, I can handle that. That just doesn't seem right to me. Seems like he's worthy of a whole lot more than that. Can I get an amen from somebody? Why don't we, before we're seated, maybe we could clap our hands, shout with a voice of triumph, do something. Let's see if we can break that 20-second barrier. Can we do it? Father, we honor you tonight. We give you glory. You're worthy to receive from us glory and honor and power. 12, 13, 14. You're worthy to receive adoration because you've been so good to me. I cannot tell it all. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. 19, 20, 21, 22. You gave me a brand new life. You washed me in your blood. You sanctified me by your Spirit. You've brought me a mighty long way. You've been patient with me. 28, 29, 30, 31. He gave me hope when I had no hope. You were gracious and are gracious to me every day. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Halamarondo bashandaya bahakataya. Ikalalabahaka. Oh, kuyama shiandalomo. Ilabaridi adalabahaya mahashataya. Ikalaya mahaya hakashataya. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Kuriya, Shaya, I love you. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I think we got all the way up to 60 that time. Amen. Maybe even 70. What's important is not how long it is, but we gave it our best. Jesus said she did all she could. You may be seated. The reading tonight in Mark 14 indicates to us that when this woman came into the house, there were some that had indignation. If you looked at Matthew's rendition, it tells us there that when his disciples in verse 8 saw it, they had indignation. John kind of lays it out that some, you know, he was like a subtle guy. He talked about the disciple that Jesus loved. But here in this case, Mark says it that it was just some. Matthew says it as being the disciples. And John tells the starkingly clear explanation that one of his disciples spoke, Judas. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. And bear what was put therein. It was right after that Judas left the scene to go to the priest. Mark shows us as some that were there. Matthew shows us it was the disciples. And John shows us that Judas voiced what everybody else was thinking. He was a thief. He said it because he was a thief and kept the bag, which says to me, He wanted that money so he could skim some off the top. He wanted to steal some of that money had it been sold and given for the poor. And so he saw he lost out on quite an opportunity, and that triggered him and tripped him into going to the priest to make 30 pieces of silver. Pretty sad commentary. So which rendition is true? Well, I believe all three of them are true, in that it was those that were there, and including and specifically the disciples, and it was Judas who was a spokesman for them. Which is an amazing thing to me, that these disciples, these which would include at least the apostles and others that had followed them, would be so indignant about this woman getting emotional and demonstrative and expressing her love for this Jesus that they love too. It's like when the mothers and fathers were bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. It wasn't the Pharisees that tried to stop them from bringing the kids. It was the disciples. You know, you guys are a little more hindrance than you are a blessing around here. Let her alone. Let these people alone. Bring those children to me, for such is the kingdom of God. What's wrong with you? And so they backed away, and he put his hands on those children and parents, because he always loves putting his hands on people that want to get his hands put on them. He's looking for people that are looking for hands to be put on them. And then there was a time where that Syrophoenician, she had this demonic daughter. Jesus, help us, please, save us. And the disciples, these good brethren, told Jesus, would you please tell her to go away? She's annoying us. Well, these folks are having a hard time getting the point around here. And Jesus turned and said, you know, it's not meet to give the children meant for the bread. It was meant for the children, and give it to dogs, you know. Maybe that'll take care of this. No problem, Lord. I'll be a dog. Because dogs just get up under the table, get a few crumbs. What about that? And Jesus said, that's pretty cool. And I'll take care of your problem right now. But it was the disciples that people had to get through to get to him. You know, like there was a couple of guys that wanted to talk to Jesus, and they picked, I think it was Peter and John maybe, when the loaves and fishes was about to happen. And they said, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. You guys are, nice and cool, but we're really not here to see you. Would you please get out of the way so we can see him? And these guys are here at this moment where Calvary is just a couple of days away. And they're having this sort of laid-back moment here, having some fellowship. And she busts up the party. And everything goes from casual and fun to very serious, like in seconds. And they weren't very happy about it. It was an expression of her devotion and her worship. Amen. And it was amazing how these people responded to it. That moment seemed to trip Judas into it, costing his own soul. And certainly these disciples and apostles made somewhat fools of themselves by their, number one, casual moment that they weren't aware of, that we're on the verge of something unbelievable. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't get the moment. Well, the whole nation couldn't get the moment. If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, where God instituted the Passover, he said, now, you're getting ready to get out of here, and we're going to call this the first month. And this is the first month here. And then we're going to call this, and it was called the month of Nisan or Nisan. He said, now on the 10th day of the month, you're going to take a lamb or select a lamb. And 5 days later on the 14th, you're going to kill the lamb. And you're going to eat the lamb. And you're going to put the blood on the door. And you're going to have shoes on your feet, because by eating this lamb and by putting the blood on the door, you're going to be saved. And the death angel's coming over, and when he sees the blood on your door, he's going to pass over you. And so this woman here is in the position of the anniversary of that Passover. It's just in a couple days. Jesus has already been through the triumphal entry. And it's interesting to note that the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry was the 10th day of Nisan, the Lamb Selection Day. And here Jesus is a few days away from Passover, which is going to be Lamb Sacrifice Day. Here comes the Lamb of God offering Himself to be selected to be the Passover Lamb. And in just a couple of days, He's about to be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What's going on here is a woman that senses there's something very important going on here. It doesn't look all that important. They're sitting around eating sloppy joes and just... from Fritos and whatever, and Diet Coke preferably. And the doctor told me the other day I needed more fruit in my diet, and so I started drinking Diet Coke, and trying to help me out. And they're just having this casual time, where this Lamb of God, symbolized thousands of years earlier, has already been selected to be the Passover Lamb. And He's about to go to Calvary to be the Lamb of sacrifice and to be buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, that stone is going to roll away and they're eating sloppy joes. They're not catching the moment here. You can look just clearly just a day later or so at the what we call the Last Supper. Maybe it was the last sloppy joe. They still don't get it. They're just having a casual time. And when Jesus says, I will give Him credit, when Jesus says, someone here is going to betray me, they said, is it I? That's surprising. I would have thought they'd have done like we would do. Is it you? Is it I? And Peter looked around and wanted to know who it was, so he checked out where John's head was. John was picking up on a moment here, just like the woman picked up on a moment. He picks up on a moment, and he's got his head at his heart. He's leaning up on Jesus, a very weird-looking situation, particularly from the perspective of 2006. He's leaned up on what John said was the breast of Jesus. He had his head on the heart of the Lamb. He was getting as close as he could. So Peter asked John to ask Jesus, since you're the one that's got it mostly together around here, give me an answer. And John asked, and he was told. And Judas slipped out. Nobody realized what was really going on. It was a time for intense worship. As a matter of fact, after they left the Last Supper on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says they sang a hymn. It's the only time you'll find where they ever sang. They sang a song of praise and worship on their way to the cross. Amen. And I think maybe the moment's catching on here. But when the cops come to get Jesus, they all flee. And only John showed up at the cross. And there he received the responsibility of taking Jesus' mother under his care as her son, as Jesus would if he was going to be stayed. It was important, but they weren't getting it. But this woman had this feeling that she wanted to really do something. But I don't even think she knew why she was doing it. I don't think she knew in just a few days he's going to be buried and I'd want to preserve his body with this ointment as Jesus said she did it for. I think she just had an urge to do something important and do it now. And instead of quenching that feeling, or being too intimidated to do it, or being too hesitant to do it, and thereby perhaps missed the moment, she risked ridicule, she risked rejection, she risked making a mistake and doing it in the flesh, and went ahead and did it anyhow. Have you ever heard somebody, Brother McCool, have you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't want to worship and shout, people think I'm trying to be spiritual. What in the world's wrong with somebody thinking you're trying to be spiritual? Would you rather them think you're trying to be carnal? What's wrong with trying to be spiritual? I think if you're going to be spiritual, it's going to be because you tried to be spiritual. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could break that 20 seconds again, or did you just poop out right there? What do you see? Does anybody here? Well, let's do it this way. How about all you candidates standing here and see if you can lead us in a praise time, because we've got a God that deserves more than a casual response. We got a God here that deserves more than just casualness. He deserves our very best. I want it said of me, He did all that He could. He did it all. He gave it all. He tried His best. He did everything He could possibly do. That's when we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, I think we're up to about 13 right now. 14. I wonder if everybody can lift your hands and open your mouth and lift up your voice with a loud voice and give Him high praise for just a minute, because He is so worthy. He kata mahaya ha shanambala la baha kasha. Ha ha kataya mahaya ha. Woo! Glory. Oh yeah. You know, it's amazing, Brother McCool. The more we worship Him, the more of Him we feel. The more we praise Him, the more of Him shows up. It's an amazing coincidence how when we get with it, He gets with it. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 I love a worship service, what we call a worship service, when we come to worship God. We come to exalt Him as the bride of Christ. Not we come to see and be seen, but we come to exalt Him. That's what a worship service is, to worship Him. Somebody give me an amen and tell me when you got it, okay? Can you stand up and wave your hand or something? Tell me when you got it, all right? You got, huh? Chapter, you're so picky for details. It's Job chapter 36, I think it's verse 27. It just left my mind. Yeah, chapter 36, verse 27. Got it? Okay. Look at this, I think this is kind of cool. For He maketh small the drops of water. Well, we could stop right there and give Him praise. When it rains, it comes in little pieces. It's a good thing He made them small, you know? Like, what if He made them 50 pounds big? I mean, all the umbrellas be all tore up. He maketh small the drops of water. What a good God. That's worth 20 seconds right there. For they... No. We don't have time. They poured down rain according to the vapor thereof. Next verse, please, which would be by coincidence, verse 28. Which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Now, this is eighth grade science about evaporation. The heat comes out, the water turns into a vapor or a gas. It's called a vapor. It's evaporation. It goes up, meets some more evaporation, and they have a fellowship meeting and make a cloud out of it. And then it distills back from the vapor into small drops of water. And we read there that it's according to the vapor thereof. Meaning there's a direct relationship between how much is going up and how much is coming down. If there's nothing going up, you got a desert because nothing's coming down. Oh, yeah, that's true. No vapor going up, no rain coming down. I said that again for you because you liked it so much. Amen. A little vapor going up. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. A little bit of rain coming down. A whole lot of vapor going up. And there's a whole lot of rain coming down. Because it's according to the vapor thereof. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If that is true, that means that God is not the one that decides how much He blesses us. The cloud is not going to determine it. It's the vapor that determines how much rain is coming out of that cloud. That means, if that's true, if there's a spiritual application, if it's in there for more than just helping us get through eighth grade science and has some spiritual application, which I think it does, that means the more we send up, the more He's going to send down. In other words, God, we're not waiting on God. It seems like to me, God is waiting on us. That means we determine how much blessing is in our lives. We determine how much anointing is in our lives. We determine how much power is in our church services. We determine how much glory comes down and manifests. You send up a little, you're going to get a little. That's why somebody over here could be getting nothing, and somebody over here is in a downpour, because the cloud is going to pour out according to the vapor thereof. If that's true, if that's true, we're the ones that decide what kind of service we're going to have. If it's going to be a dry, dead service, just sit there like a prune, an old, dry, dead prune, dried up. A very moving experience. Amen. But if you want a move of God, amen, the hotter it gets, the more vapor ought to go up. The more trials you got, the more praise it ought to go up. Because the more rain is going to come down. How many want some more rain to come down? Why don't we decide what we want tonight? Why don't you send up enough vapor for the kind of blessing you want tonight? He cut off. If you hold back, you're just holding back God's blessing. He kala maha riando da damo kushataya maha. Let me tell you guys something. If nobody praises God in your churches, you praise God, you can get the rain. If they won't know what to do, you do what you need to do, and God will send you rain. Don't wait on somebody else to do the praising. You do it yourself. You don't have to feel nothing to praise God. You just praise God anyhow, and you'll start feeling the rain. Don't wait to feel something. If you love God, you don't have to wait to say, I love you. You don't need God to say, I love you first. Why don't you say, I love you first? I don't feel nothing, God, but I still love you. I'm going through some heat, but I still love you. Guess what? You're building a cloud right over your head. You're building a cloud over your church. You're building a cloud of revival and power and glory. Somebody give Him some praise right now. Oh, yeah. A worship service. You may be seated. We're in a worship service. How many? We've all said this. Now comes the most important part of the service. The Word of God. The first part of the service was a preliminary. The minor part of the service. The part of the service that people are always late to for whatever reasons. Because it's just a preliminary. Now we're coming to the most important part of the service. And I believe it is an important part of the service. But I guess it depends on who you are when it comes to which part's more important. The first part is for God. The worship. Now comes the most important part. What we get. You know what? Seems like that don't make no sense to me. It seems like if I was God, I'd think the most important part was the first part. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like to me we shouldn't be more into getting than we are into giving. Because it's more blessed to give. Have I preached too long or something? Okay. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Therefore, the preliminaries ought to be the hottest part of the service. Oh, I guess you didn't like that. That's when we ought to be giving, 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 giving. Because guess what? You can't outgive God. And if you give, give, give in the worship, you're going to get in the power and in the Word. Chapter 4 of John, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh." He's looking for something. "Seeketh such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That word spirit is the same word in the Greek as Holy Spirit. It's spirit, it's breath. It's with some life to it. Worship with some life in it. Not just mechanical response. Not just going through the motion. Not just singing a song because you know the words since you were 9. And all you don't have to think about what you're doing. It's something you're thinking about. It's something you're feeling in here. It's something that comes from somewhere down deep. I'm singing because I'm singing about You. I'm worshiping. I'm not just lifting my hands so I won't look like an idiot. I'm doing it because I love You in spirit and in truth. That tells me if there's true worshipers, there must be false worshipers. I want to be one of the true ones because the Father's looking for true worshipers. There's just something about worship that's magnetic to God. He's looking for somebody He can rain on. He's looking for somebody He can bless. He's looking for somebody He can minister to. He's looking for somebody He can add quality to their lives. I love that. That's why the devil's saying, "You're too tired, John, to worship tonight. Here's all you could do to just get here. You did good. You did all you could. You got here." Well, you don't come into contact with God just because you got to the building. It's the building don't turn God on. What turns God on is a young man that loves Him more than anything else in this world and is willing to show it. Here's the definition of worship. A worshiper, true worshipers. It means an adorer. An adorer. Somebody that's flat in love with Jesus. And they don't care what anybody thinks about it. Because the word true worshipers, the word true means this. Push that button one more time. Not concealing. In other words, they don't hide how they feel about God. In other words, it's obvious about them that they adore Jesus Christ. In other words, if nobody knows you adore Jesus, you ain't true. You got it hid under a bushel. True worshipers. Am I getting in trouble here tonight? I feel like I'm on shaky ground here. Amen. True worshipers are worshipers or adorers of Jesus that aren't ashamed about it and are open about it and don't care about public opinion. seems like to me that woman with the alabaster box was being a true worshiper. She adored Him and she couldn't hold back anymore. She wanted to unconceal how she felt about Jesus. You know when the oneness apostolics are going to really do what we want to do? Is when we rip off the cover and we let this world know I'm a one God apostolic, tongue talking, amen, and I'm in love with Jesus. And He's anointing me, and He loves me, and I'm happy to have a relationship with Him, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to get over pride. Help us to get over timidness. Help us just be out there. Now let me take some of your time. Did I not change my watch? Is it 8:30 or 9? Somebody say 8:30, please. What? It's 8:30 somewhere, and it's 9:30 here? It's 8:30 here. All right. Al, I got hours. You may be seated. You know that scripture? Well, let's start off here. You guys, why don't you tell me, what does omnipresence mean?
He's everywhere.
At the same time. He's down here. He's over there. He can do cool stuff like that. He's everywhere at the same time. If somebody was, well, it doesn't matter what somebody was. He's in China right now, isn't he? And he's right here right now. He's at the mall right now. He's in the woods right now. He's everywhere. That means God can't leave. Because if He left, He was already at where He went. And He's still where He was. He's omnipresent. That's why you can't hide from Him. You can't run from Him. You can't get away from Him. Anywhere you are, He's right there. Ain't that good news? That was good singing there at night. Everywhere you go, He's right there. But I'll confess to you, man, I don't feel Him everywhere. Unless I make contact through praise and worship. He's everywhere at the same time. There's a difference between omnipresence and manifest glory, where He steps out of eternal and into present and starts doing cool stuff. And through your ministry, He steps into time. I said, how you doing? What's up? Where are you hurting? I got what you need. But that doesn't happen automatically. It happens when you do this. And that draws Him out of eternity into the right now. And He goes from omnipresent to manifestation of His glory. That's what I want in my church. I don't want an omnipresent God at church. I want a manifested God at church. In my prayer life, I don't want an omnipresent God. I want a manifested God. I want to make contact with Him. I want miracles from Him. I want a revival from Him. And I can't get that with an omnipresent God. I need a manifested God. Amen. I feel that manifestation right here tonight. So God is looking for true worshipers so He can manifest Himself in their life. No worship, no manifestation. Omnipresent. Going to any one of the churches in your town that just go by mechanics, that don't really worship, just kind of do mechanical things. You know what you feel? The air conditioning. That's about it. I went into that Pentecostal church jam-packed with all 20 of them. And I slipped in the back seat because it was closest to the exit. And I was a weird hippie. And I was from some weird church people. There was one sister who had to be a softball pitcher earlier in her life. She was about 95 and she kept going, whoa! you ride. There was another guy up in the front. I'm sure his foot was stuck in a socket. He was going like this the whole night. Weird looking. But I felt something that I didn't feel when everybody had their hair slicked back and their suits just right. And I didn't feel nothing there. But I go into where they're throwing softballs and getting electrocuted. And I'm feeling what I like to feel when I'm feeling what I like to feel. I didn't care how weird it looked. What I cared about is I'm feeling something that I've tried to find in so many other places. I'm so glad that church I went to wasn't a dead Pentecostal church. I'm glad there was somebody in there that was a true worshiper, because Jesus slipped out of eternity and slipped into that sanctuary. Oh, and he started doing his thing. He started doing his thing, and I wanted to do my thing, and my thing was, I came to get the Holy Ghost, and I'm feeling all around me this Holy Ghost. And when the preacher's through preaching, my wife and I came out of the aisles and came down to the front, and the preacher said, Chester Wright, he said, Ronnie, the reason he said that, that's my name, he said, Ronnie, if you lift your hands, I believe the first words coming out of your mouth is going to be speaking in tongues. He taught us a 3-hour Bible study 2 days earlier. I lifted my hands up and immediately saw a pitcher of water that started pouring out. It came down here and somehow got on the inside. But it wasn't my stomach. It was in my spirit. It was in my soul. And I kept my hands up. I didn't say a word. And it got bigger. And it got higher. And it kept moving. And it kept pouring out. And it got right to here. Then I opened my mouth and spoke in tongues for about 20 minutes for the first time in my life. And I've been doing it ever since, because somebody wasn't concealing. Is this making any sense? Somebody wasn't concealing that they were an adorer. How many adore Him? Oh, come, let us adore Him. We have a responsibility to worship Him. Let me tell you five guys something. You don't have the right to come to church and invite people to it and then be dead when they get there. I don't care how hurting you are. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care how tough it is. You be a worshiper and you get God in that place. And you're the key. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord is mighty and mighty in battle. You need the Lord in there. I don't care how discouraged you are, how bad it looks, how dry it is. Nobody wants to worship. You be a worshiper. All He needs is somebody He can get in through and start ministering to somebody else. We got to take the cover off. You may be seated. Hopefully you can listen to a little more without me offending you. The scripture that says, God inhabits. Anybody know the rest of it? The praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of Israel. Look up that word, inhabit. It means to build a seat or a throne. Or He sat. When you give God not, you know, just mechanical praise, but you're a true worshiper. You build a throne. Boom. He sits on, bam, and starts doing His thing right there in your presence. Give Him a little bit of praise. You got a little stool about that big. Build some big praise. Build a big throne. Have a big move of God. Anybody want a big move of God? Well, the rain that comes down is according to the vapor thereof. That's why Satan always says to people, oh, you're too sick, praise the Lord tonight. Oh, yeah. And you've really been through it. Why don't you just sort of just be here and take the night off? Because if he can get you to fall for that, there'll be no throne. And if there's no throne, there's no move of God. If there's no move of God, there's no revival. If there's no revival, you're a dying church and you're a dying ministry. Your future is determined and is depending on you keeping saturated in the Holy Ghost, keeping hydrated in your ministry and hydrated in your spirit. Amen. And that can only come from spending some time in the presence of God. And the only way you're going to get in the presence of God is, dude, you got to see this guy. If you don't know this guy, does he look like John McCain or what? Amen. It's unbelievable. Can I have my picture taken with you after church? Put it up in my office. Yeah, me and John, we go back a long time. What was I saying? Somebody help me. I know it was good. Huh? Staying saturated, hydrated. And the only way to do that is send up vapor. And as much water as you need, send up that much vapor. And don't quit doing it. Until you're full and saturated. You know what a raisin is? Yes. It's a golden grape. Did you know that? It's a grape that used to be juicy. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. But it got out in the sun too long. We got too many raisin Christians. Used to be juicy. Whoosh. You know what a prune is? It's a backslid plum. When you're soaking wet in the Spirit, whoosh, like you just fell into a swimming pool, whoosh. Then there's the prune. Here's what we got. Music's too loud. PA's too loud. Preaching too long. It's too hot. Too cold. Plums don't have time to criticize everybody. Amen. Grapes don't have time to find fault with everybody. It's the prunes and the raisins. Come on, let's build a throne right now. Why don't we build a throne right now? Oh, I want you all, I want you to go home and start sending up some vapor and sending up some praise and bust up the party and go get your best and break that bottle and pour it all on Him. Next slide, please. In the English dictionary, the word worship means reverent love. You may be seated. I know you thought that was it, but bless you. You're blessed. We're going into overtime. Amen. That's always a good thing when we're watching sports. Number one, it means reverent love and devotion. Adoration, to honor and to love. It means to adoring esteem and devotion. In the Middle English, it meant worthiness. And this is misspelled, and I haven't been able to get my guy to correct it. What's coming up in the Old English, although he's tried. Well, it did come up on that one. All right. It means, well, it's still not right. It originally meant worthyship. The word we have for worship originally meant worthyship. And we express how worthy we believe He is. And notice, not one of these definitions have anything to do with clapping hands, lifting our voices. Praise. Praise is an expression of our worship. Paying our tithes is our expression of worship. Treating one another like human beings, like Jesus taught us to do, is an expression of worship. My definition, next slide, of worship is simply this. Anything we do on purpose to please God because we love Him. If you offend me, which would be impossible, knowing you like I do, on purpose, I have to forgive you to please Him. That's worship. Forgiving an offense. For honoring where honor is due. For being a Christian, is worship to God. We have to do that on purpose. Hatred comes easy. You don't have to train yourself to do that. But you have to train yourself to be forgiving. You have to train yourself to keep your attitude right. And you do that because you love God. That's worship. And when we begin to come to the house of God with a worship attitude, and we begin to express our worship through praise, we build seats and thrones, and the rain begins to fall, and the anointing begins to flow. All in favor of more anointing in your church, would you shout amen?
Amen.
All in favor of a greater flow of the presence of God, would you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, we don't want to turn off our visitors. Well, don't you want to turn them on more than you're afraid of turning them off? We can't build our churches like those big cats build theirs. They build theirs on programs. They build theirs on organizations. They're not building a body. We're building a body. And that body can't be built with our talents or our abilities, except the Lord build the house. They that labor, labor in vain. We need to let the Lord build the house and let them feel the presence of God and let them feel the glory of God. I wish somebody shout amen. I love the omnipresence of God, and I'm almost through. Judas, a derivative from the word Judah. Stay with me, bro. His name meant praise. Every time he heard his name, it spoke to him about what he should be doing. It spoke to him. It convicted him every time he heard his, but he never could get it right because there were things in here he couldn't deal with or wouldn't deal with. We've been called to be worshipers, not observers. We need to lead the best worshipers in a district need to be the pastors and the evangelists and the preachers. The best worshipers in a local church shouldn't be the women. It ought to be the men. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you can't be a worshiper. Just because you don't have all the emotional thing going on a lady does, you ought to have a love so deep down in you that you refuse to let anybody outpraise you in church. Well, where is all the men in here? And so here they were. Go to Mary Felt the Power. It's three slides later. Here they were. Don't go to it. Just let me know when you got it. I'm doing it. I'm trying to escape. Here they were having just a little party, you know. The lamb had already been selected. How'd you like that? 10th day of Nisan. Cool, huh? The lamb had already been selected. The lamb's a couple of days at the most from crucifixion. The disciples are sort of just eating sloppy joes here. But Mary says there's something going on, a whole lot more than sloppy joes in there. You got it? It's just three slides away. All right, put it up. You're there. Mary felt the power of the moment. It wasn't because somebody explained it, because nobody was doing any explaining. She just picked up on it. Something in her spirit. She didn't know this was the last go-round, the last visit. She would never see him again like this. And she felt the power of the moment. She sensed a profound opportunity. I've got an opportunity here to do something important. She felt an urgency. I don't know about you guys. I feel an urgency. I need to get with it. I need to really step up to the plate. I need to take this to a whole nother level of commitment and input. I've been just taking it a little easy lately.
I need to do something.
Go to the next one. She wanted to do something significant. She didn't even know why. But she felt, this is a moment I need to grasp right now. You know what scares me, brethren? That we're going to miss our moment. Because something is about to happen. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? There's an urgency in the air. I think the Spirit is urging us. If you're going to do something significant, you better start working on it right now. Because you don't have much time left. If you're going to do something significant, you better step up to the plate or you're going to miss your moment. I'm scared that we're going to be so into the Lord's going to do it. Yes, sir, so much. Yeah, He's going to do it. And He's waiting on us to go get the alabaster box, which represents our very, very best. Because let's get real, brethren. Are we really giving it our all? Only you as an individual and only I as an individual can really answer that. Is there some part of me reserved that I just haven't put into play yet? Because I just am kind of taking it easy. She said, I've got to do something significant. And what came to her mind was that alabaster box. The Message Bible says it was a whole year's worth of wages. And in a Jewish home in biblical times, if people had any of that very special ointment, if they came, you were a guest in their home, you might get one or two drops. And that would be an extreme honor to you. Because after all, this is a whole year's worth of wages. How much do you expect to get? Most people don't even get any. But something stirred up in her that I think needs to get stirred up in me. I need to quit giving just a little drop here and a little drop there, and hold back the rest in reserve. I need to go gather up somewhere in prayer, and somewhere in commitment, everything I have. And the Bible says she brought it, busted up the party. People don't like party busters. People don't like people that interrupt playtime. People don't like people that kind of tell it like it is. But she went to him, and she broke the box and poured it on him. Now, if she broke the box, wouldn't the oil have fallen on the ground? How would she pour it on him if we looked at it like she broke the whole box? What I believe is she snapped the top of it off and started pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring as it dripped down his face. And into his garments. He never stopped her. He never rebuked her. He never said, you're getting out of order. He never said, you're getting in the flesh. He never said, why don't you cool your jets? He never said, why don't you calm down? He just sat there on his seat that praise had built and let her build and pour and pour until there was nothing left. Everybody was displeased. Everybody was upset. The disciples, the ones very closest to Him, were upset about this waste. You know what they were saying? He's not worth you pouring all that on Him. He's not worth it. His closest disciples were saying, He's not worth it. You wasted it. Jesus stood up and said, hush your mouth. Leave her alone. Unlike the rest of you sloppy Joe eaters, she gave all she could. Guess what, guys? I'm fixing to get buried right after I get crucified. and she's anointing my body prophetically for what's about to happen while you're sitting around just having a big old time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to understand the times that we're in and what's about to happen. And if we're going to give it our best, we better get with it and give it all we got. Now, if you break out of your pack, there may be some that think you went over the edge. If we really got to where we could get to, in terms of giving it our all, we could look very strange to a lot of our friends. But we've got to take the risk of what somebody else is going to say. We've got to take the risk of how somebody else is going to react and do what God is stirring our heart to do. And He will say, let Him alone. He's doing all He can do. He's going to bless you. It doesn't matter. He said, fear not what man will do to you, but fear what God will do to you. Amen. And there's something in the air that's telling me, I got to get with it more than I ever got with it. I'm 55. Unbelievable. Please don't tell anybody. It's a secret. I'm embarrassed. I get AARP every month. They want to sell me insurance and all kind of stuff because I'm old. Amen. It looks like it's everybody's, just the signals I'm getting is I'm washing up here. I'm on my way out. But something else is saying, your best years are ahead of you. If you can go get the alabaster box in your life and give me your very best right now, because you're now positioned to be more valuable than you've ever been before. If you'll do all that you can do, I can use you. I can bless you. I can minister through you. Give me your best. I want to do it. How many want to do it? How many really can say, I want to break out of myself and give more to the kingdom of God that I've ever given because I want some significance. Anybody want to go out of here saying, I was significant, my life counted? If you want that, would you stand with me right now in the name of Jesus? If you want significance and you don't want normalcy, you want something significant, would you give God high praise right now? The best you can possibly do. Maybe more than anything you've done in this service so far. Would you lift those voices up and give God some high praise? Would you do that? Would you do that? I think we can do better than that. I really do. I think we can. I think we can. Go get that alabaster box. You that are being ordained tonight, go get your alabaster box. Give it your best. Don't quit when it gets hard. Don't quit when it gets difficult. Don't quit giving your best when you're hurting and when you've been betrayed. If you're a worshiper tonight, would you put your hand on somebody's shoulder right now? Sisters to sisters, brothers to brothers. And would you pray with the same enthusiasm? Please pray. Please pray one for another. Our time is running out. If we're going to do something significant. I think we could pray more earnestly. Would you pray for that brother that God would help him give it his very best? Would you pray that God would help him give it his very best or her very best?